We'll take a quick look at the word today, and it's a word that, for whatever reason, at least some parts of it, it wasn't that long ago, I don't know when, but not that long ago, that brought a message on this, and it's like, why would you want me to go back, and why do you keep burdening me with the same thing? And I don't ask it mean, you know, to God or smart or anything. It's just like, God, why are you taking me back to another passage? Same passage. What did I miss? What did they miss? What's new? And so there's a passage in 1 Peter, and it's like, we've been over this. And it's like, well, and the burden was there. I tried to go to, you know, I have several notebooks. I work out of different ones for different messages. Some that are detailed from the Greek, Hebrew, whatever. I need more room, so I do a lot of exegetical stuff on that, then others shorter. Now, going back, why does God want me to hit a message that's been not that far removed? And I mean, it's been a while. And it's like, he never told me. So if you're the one that caused this, now you be ashamed of yourself today. And just get it right, whatever you missed, and it's most likely just many times God will just give you a word. You'll read scripture if you're really open to the Holy Spirit's leading when you read the Bible. He'll show you things, and you're going, "Why did I never get that? How come I didn't see that?" It's a living, growing God's word's living and growing all the time. It's active. So anyway, to say. If you find some notes on this, I know. But you don't question, do. Don't question, just do it. So keep me in your prayers this week. I have to see the surgeon on Wednesday. And this is healed up outwardly really good. But I can't get the feeling back in my thumb, up here, and none of my, this half of my wrist. Down to where this band is right here. And so I'm learning to just adapt to it. But he told me I'm going to have to do some nerve testing and stuff. I don't want to do that. I'm so tired of being picked and poked on. And you ever been there? You just don't want any more? And I don't want any more. Let's do what we got to do. But I don't want a bunch of medication and all that stuff. So just pray for me. That's my whining and grumbling and, you know, but I'm just tired of it, so. And anyway, and the light grew brighter. Thank you, sir. He said, I agree. I'll heal you. and I believe God's going to. But he's going to heal you from whatever stuff is bothering you. As we read and we go into this, I want to say to you, went through an experience or two, I was sharing with you earlier, and you never know where God's going to step in your life and get you centered again. Mine came and being on a little ride, virtual ride, and I don't know what happened, can't explain it, but you know that everything in life lost, besides Christ, lost its significance. All the petty stuff that I get caught up, we all get caught up in. Did you know for God used, he just used going and experiencing a ride. And I got on and I had to sit down and think. And then I just stood there. I need a minute. And it's like, Tony, what did I just do with you? And I want to share this with you. I mean, I was sharing with you whether about virtual reality and all that kind of stuff. But in my case, do you know what happened with me? Suddenly, there was only one thing important, and that was taking care of the people that needed taking care of and surviving this thing for all of us. And the Lord just stepped into my life there and said, Were you thinking about somebody being irritating? Were you thinking about traffic? Were you thinking about this? Anything else? And I mean, that just came into my heart, Ty speaks, you know, just that impression and heavy on you. And it's like, I wasn't thinking about anything, but I've got a job to do. I mean, I was in it. I've got a job to do. And everybody here is going to perform to do that job. And we're going to get in, we're going to get them, and we're going to survive this, and we're going to do it again and again and again. And what God really put before me was this. I want you to go back and be far less distracted with trivial stuff. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, all you got to say is, there goes another one. Let them. Forget it. Stay on your mission. You got people to save. You got people to help. You got people that need you. And that is irrelevant, and the devil's using it to distract you, get you stressed, distressed, depressed, oppressed. You got a mission. Stay on it. If somebody says something about you, doesn't like you, they mess with your life, the devil's, you know, in there and doing stomping around, rebuke him in the name of Jesus, leave it in God's hands, and go on with your mission. What's obviously happening is the enemy, the devil, is trying to knock you down. He's trying to distract you from God's purpose, get you all caught up in money problems, emotional issues, stresses, distresses, whatever it is. And you know how it works. And suddenly you're not thinking about what God is telling you to do. And I do that. I didn't know that I was doing it that far, but I was. And through that, it was like the old days. It was like, Donnie, don't you remember how focused you guys were on mission? Yeah. You weren't worried about mosquitoes and bugs and snakes. There was a lot more dangerous things out there, and there was things you had to do. And it's like, and there are now. What did I tell you over in Luke chapter 10? Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to walk amongst snakes and scorpions and crush them. And I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. And he said, don't even rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. So what is he saying? You have power over the enemy. Why are you sitting there jumping back from the demon snakes of your life? Why don't you rebuke them about more than that in the name of Jesus? Just go up there and crush the living daylights out of them. Why are you taking this stuff in your life? Why don't you face it head on and march on through it? You got a mission. You're here to help people open the door so Jesus can come in and save them, knock on their hearts. And it's like, wow, it's the same mission. The same mission. We're going to get this. We're going to come through this. I'm going to get as many people as we can and get them out of here. And get them out of this wounded, desolate jungle that they're living in. Because they are. People are just, they're so messed up in the jungle out here. And they're getting they're getting wasted on fentanyl, crack cocaine, meth. We make fun, we say they're crackheads or this and that. They're people. They're people, and we got to come sailing in and do something. At least got to try. Friends, we need to be able to go to bed at night saying, at least I tried. You got a problem with somebody, deal with it. Go to your brother or sister, like Scripture says, and if they don't receive you, if they throw you out, if they call you every name in the book, you walk out of there but your conscience, with your conscience free because, I mean, it may hurt your feelings, but your conscience free because you tried. You served the ball back in their courts, on them now, between them and God. This is all a warm-up and a prelude to this passage. Because what's in here, I'm seeing more and more now as this is developing, why God's we're having to go back over this and do it a different way. This is a total different approach to the message. So it's a new message with the same scripture. We're letting too much cause us to say the wrong things, think the wrong things. And you've got people that need you. You've got family right now that needs you. You've got friends. You've got people you don't know are going to be at least acquaintances, if not friends, that need you very much. And they need you to be right with God. They need you to be healthy in the Holy Spirit. Because the words you give them is either going to save their life or put them away for good in a lot of cases. So all of a sudden, this just becomes very powerful. I titled it Receiving God's Best Blessing. And you do that by being a blessing. So let's read this, because we need to read the scripture. It's a build up to it, and I didn't even know we're going to. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 3. And it reads this way. And finally, in verse 8, it says, "All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another." Let this soak in. When he says be of one mind, we're all gifted differently. We all think different. We have opinions, tons of opinions. That's not what he's talking about. We know it, but it needs to be said. When you're just going to be of one mind, it means when you comes to Jesus Christ, everybody be of one mind that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. One-mindedness on that. One-mindedness on the Word of God is absolute God's truth. It's His absolute truth. There is no error whatsoever. And that God is who He says He is, and Jesus is who He says He is, and He does what He says He'll do. We baptize believers because Jesus commanded it. We teach them the Word because Jesus commanded it. How we baptize, how we do the Lord's Supper, we do the Lord's Supper because Jesus commanded it. That we have to be of one mind on that. That it's not a man-made thing, it's a God thing. And it's a Jesus thing, and we do it to glorify Him and honor Him, remember Him in our lives. Those are the things you have to be in one mind about. But if we serve the Lord's Supper from little plastic cups, or brass cups, or gold cups, or we dip, or we drink, or we want, that's methodology. Who cares? But a lot of people do. And you see, we get caught up in the wrong things. You don't have to be of one mind about that. Some of you might wish that we could dip bread in a deal like they did and dip it in the wine and go for it. We get all this paranoia about being sick and stuff. We might try that one Sunday. I'm game. I'm not stuck on little plastic cups every time. We do it because it's safe. But the whole point is, and how I preach, and should we have plastic up here, a big wooden thing, is that we can be of different minds about that. You know, I don't mind. And anybody can say, "Well, Tony, you know, I think you should be more formally dressed." That's kind of what I believe. And it's like, well, we don't have to be of one mind about that. We can just accept that the way we are, we're going to have different. Everybody with me on this? You see this? The doctrines of the Bible and what it teaches, we're one mind. Rest of it, opinion. Do we have tablecloths? Do we not? You know. Who cares? We win, we lose on those things. Who cares? The main thing is that Jesus Christ is lifted up and glorified. So finally, all of you be of one mind and have compassion for one another. He said, I really want you to feel for one another, even if you don't like the other's opinion. Love his brothers and sisters. You know, be tender-hearted, be courteous, and not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. You know why he says that? Because when Jesus was reviled, he didn't return reviling. And when he was treated evil, he did not return evil. And all he's reiterating here is saying, I want you to be like your Savior, because people can't see him now. They see him through you. He's gone up to heaven and interceding, but he lives in you, and he's your hope of glory, and your body's his temple. So people see Jesus by what you do and what you say. So he said, really, really work at it to let him... To be tender-hearted and courteous, and don't return evil for evil. He said, just because somebody calls you something, you don't have to call back. Your flesh wants to. And here's the question. You know, is your pride so strong? Is it so huge that you can't surrender it to God and keep quiet? That's what gets us in trouble. It's our pride. It's our ego. Our pride gets hurt. Why don't you surrender the pride beforehand? Do some preventive maintenance and just say, God, every day I'm going to ask you, take my pride and keep it submissive. Take my ego and keep it submissive. My ego is I got to tell you, my ego is slowly going away. You got to have some self-esteem. But after, you know, the dermatologist puts divots in the end of your nose, the side of your nose, and you have scars on you. It's like your ego about, how do I look all right? It's like, I just hope I'm up to look. and it just goes, and then you just finally, what ego? You don't need one. You need a good self-esteem in that I'm a child of living God, and he's put me here for a purpose, and he'll fulfill that purpose, and when he's through with me, I'll expire. He'll call me home. And until then, we're good to go, guys, and we're good to go after that, but we're good to go now. So let me move on. This is just to warm up for all of it. And he says, give them a blessing, knowing you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So I just want to title it, Receiving God's Best Blessings. And this is how we do it. This message now will go much faster than the warm-up, the introduction, because it was important that we say it the right way and get this thing in perspective. He said, so he would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, all of this was to say, you see, if you'll stay on mission and ask God to get you focused on why you're here, what you're gifted to do, what his calling is, and all this other stuff, then, listen, God promises this. If you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things that you need, in other words, all these things you're stressed about right now, I will put in perspective, I will give you, I will take care of it. I will make it work out, because God says, he calls this, remember, all things to work to the good of those that are, you know, they called according to God's purpose, and who love God are called according to his purpose. So you got that going for you. But if you get distracted and caught up in it and buried in it, then God now is digging you out while trying to address your problem. So we make it doubly harder on ourselves. And some of us are just prone to do this. We just get it, we let it really whack us good. And so it's like, God, clear my head and my heart all my life. Help me focus now and not be distracted what I'm supposed to do. So here it is. Here's the breakdown. Ready? We're ready to rock. Let's go. Okay. Here's the first point. Guard your words. Guard your words. Ask God to put a guard on your mouth. Guard what you say. He would have love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Oh, how many? I mean, I don't even have to ask. Is there anyone in here who doesn't have a little bit of lip trouble, tongue trouble? I mean, what a battle, right? It's constant. And you think you've got it whipped. You can make it, you pass a test or two and say, I didn't cuss at that person on the freeway. I didn't yell. And then all of a sudden somebody barely misses you and, oh. And it's a battle every day. A battle every day. I tell you what, and God, I'm better at it, but I'm not going to ever tell you I've got it defeated. Here's this. When I'm in the grocery store, we all know which one, I don't like somebody grabbing my basket and pushing it out of their way because they think they can. And it's like, Tony, is that a big deal? It is to me. And the first thing I think is, who do you think you are? Are you Mr. Howard E. Butts? You know, I try to, don't you try to push your basket to the side? I don't leave it in the center of the aisle. And then you look up and somebody's just shoving it out of the way. And it's like, excuse me? You know, if you'd wait just a moment, and I've asked a couple of people, I said, am I in your way? Yeah, I need to get to that. It's like, I need to get to it too. And then I'm thinking, careful, careful, careful. Because they'll find out what you do, and then they'll tell somebody in your church how you acted. So, so you can be thinking ahead of that and saying, so if you weren't afraid to tell somebody in your church how you acted, would you act worse? Probably. But anyway, yeah, so I have to worry about them snitching on me and telling somebody here. And your pastor was ugly in HEB. And there's curbside pickup. That might be something worth thinking about. And then the worst, the epitome was when I had my basket, all my good stuff. I mean, I like avocados. I pick those avocados. I want the fresh fruit. I'm real into all that stuff. And then when somebody takes your basket and you can't find it anywhere in the store, you've worked real hard to pick all this stuff. Your apples, I like those Envy apples. And they're just, they got a good taste to them. And I make shakes out of them and put a bunch of stuff that you would gross you worse than ever. But anyway, and I just eat apples sitting in the house. And take my basket loaded with that. And I went all over that store and never found it. And I want you to know that there was trouble keeping words from my lips. To go back and redo all that. So, but guard your words, because here's what God says. He said, if you don't watch what you're saying, he said, if you love life and see good days, you refrain your tongue from evil. And what he's saying is, he said, if you let your mouth run away with you, you're not going to love life. You're going to get bitter. There's going to be, I'm not going to prevent. In other words, I'm not going to prevent, protect from you the things that I could have protected for you from if you let your mouth run away from you. And I don't mean occasional here. We're human. But on a consistent basis, if you're saying things and you know and you're just getting carried away, letting it go, he said, refrain your tongue from evil and you keep your lips from speaking deceit. And then all he's saying is this, if you want to love life, in other words, if you want to really enjoy living, you're going to have to watch what you say. Because what you say will strip you of joy. And the Lord said, and you'll grieve my Holy Spirit. And then over in John, he says these words in 15 and 14 and 15. He said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, my joy may be, and your joy may be full. But he said, if you let that tongue get away from you and you say things you know are not of me, and especially if you don't repent of it immediately, said, there's going to be a cloud in your life, and you're not going to be loving living like you could have. And he said, so refrain yourself. And if you mess up, friends, listen, we all know what we're supposed to do. When we mess up, confess it, say, God, I'm not going to blame that person. They did an ugly thing. They said something. They cut me off in trap. They stole my basket. But God, I shouldn't have said what I said, and I shouldn't be thinking what I'm thinking. Forgive me. The more you do that, the more conscious you become before you do it. God will give you a sensitivity to what you're about to do so you can do preventive maintenance. So guard your words. Our eyes, our ears, our face, they all speak of our personal relationship to God. Do you realize that? Our expression, our eyes, the way we look at people and react and act around people, that is revealing what's in the heart. And this is why this is so serious. It's not just the words. He's saying the words that come out of your mouth are revealing your heart condition. That you're holding vile things, evil things, nasty things in your heart. You're holding anger and bitterness. That's the root of it. And that's why he's saying, watch your mouth and then let the Holy Spirit get in your heart. Why are these words there? And you say, God, take away these words. And God said, I want to take away the root of it. Where is this residual anger that you're harboring down here? Where is this don't mess with me type attitude? I know, a lot of that comes from living in this state. You know, don't mess with Texas, okay? I like that too. But when it comes to Christianity, you can't have that attitude. Don't mess with me. You got to develop an attitude of don't mess with my Jesus. But I'm surrendered. Whatever you do to me is insignificant compared to my Lord and what he's done for me and for all of us. And so remember, it's our words, they're an assessment of our heart. And God is saying it's in the heart that you can be corrupt above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things, and he wants to change the heart. So I don't want to beat it to death, but to impress on you, if you want to really love life, I mean, enjoy living, just getting out there, having where Christianity really is worth living, it's a great time. And then he said, you're going to have to let me have control of what's in your heart and stop those words. And everybody's going to do it once in a while. If you grew up in a wordy family, you're going to have some words. And I know. It's been a life's battle for me. And been in the military several years. Didn't help any. You use the emphasis of certain words to get your message across. And it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, here I am, and Christian and pastor. I've lost count how many times words stopped right just inside. You can imagine doing this job. You get insults, and not here, right here, but it's out and about, and things said to you, and you just and I've had to go off and go away and really let it out. You know, and because some of the things that, you know, the things people say, things like, I don't want no chicken pastor here in my camp. It's like, where did you get that idea? Just watch the movies. You guys are gutless. It's like, you just want to sit with the ladies in church while everybody else is getting killed and all that. That bothers me. And wouldn't you want to retort with that? You know, it's like you want to get out here and let's see, you know. And yet the Lord is saying, really? You're gonna stoop to this? This pettiness? Or are you gonna let me have the victory here? Be gracious. Be loving. Let God be gracious and loving to you in your own heart. But let them see God's graciousness, his love. You can show them there's a better life and a better way, and they can have better days. So just pay attention to what God says. If you want to love life and see really good days, and that means blessed days, have his best blessing, get in here and ask the Holy Spirit to search in your heart what's causing this stuff and get it out. And be a blessing. Speak blessings. You know what Ephesians says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but such as is edifying, helping, lifting up to the people and their needs at the moment. Okay, secondly, he says, I want you to turn from evil and do good. Now, I'm not saying that God's not telling you there's evil people in here, but here's what he's saying. I want you to turn from anything that could lead you to evil. I want you to turn from evil thoughts, things that can corrupt you. I don't want you to be reading, watching. Don't get into movies or series or anything else that there's a lot of evil in it. Listen, friends, listen. Do yourself, do your Christian walk with God a great favor. Don't watch these shows about the walking dead, zombies. You may think it's funny, but the devil deals with dead. He's out to kill you. Now, I'm saying that, and you say, Tony, well, that's now... Anything with the occult, your horoscope, all this stuff, is the devil will use it. He'll mess with your head. He'll mess with your heart. He'll mess with your mind. And if you think this is my personal opinion, there's too many people I've had to deal with, and I listen to other counselors and other pastors, and they're saying, I can't believe the destruction that just messing with horoscopes have caused people. They think that they can literally have their future predicted our future's in the hands of the living God, and he's not real big on telling us every moment of what's going to happen. And if you start programming yourself, you can try to fulfill a destiny that's on a piece of paper and override the will of God and grieve the Holy Spirit. So be careful. Occult, satanic things. There's a movie I like. I don't know why, but I have to be careful. You know what it's called? Hellboy. I remember the old comics. Anybody ever read the? And then they had the movie, and it's like Hellboy. But I had to realize, don't watch it too much, Tony, because it does mess around in the satanic. But I don't know. I just like that old Hellboy. Yeah, I just love that scene where he liked the girl. Anybody seen the movie? They keep him locked up, but he gets out, and Hellboy likes this girl. But this young squirt comes along from the FBI, and he and the girl, they're kind of getting acquainted, and Hellboy gets out and sits on top of a building, and there's that guy down there with that girl, and he's just as jealous as he can be. So he does what any loving Christian man would do. He picks up a rock and sails it and whacks that guy. I could just see myself in it, and I thought, I did that as a kid. You know, yeah, that's a mature guy thing to do. You know, okay, he's done. You know, watch this. And lay him out down there on the sidewalk. So anyway, turn from evil. Don't give in to the evil thing that you're tempted to do, and don't let evil things influence you. By the way, here's this thought. Here's not just a thought, it's a principle. Jesus, he specifically tells us, don't try to get even. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Don't seek to get even. Don't. You can ask God to get even. Ask God for his justice. Don't go get even. I gotta hurry. You know, make good use. I'm skipping through some things here I wanted to share because for time. I'm trying to pick the highlights. Just make good use of high principle. Determine in your heart that nobody will bring me down. I won't give in to them, or nothing will bring me down. I am going to honor Christ in my life. I will not watch, partake of, participate in something evil. Now, if you're okay with The Walking Dead, and I said that earlier, and I thought, nah, some people think that's funny, and me, I don't like it. I don't like dead people coming at me. I don't know why. You know, I mean, you know what? This is my problem, okay? I hate these movies where they keep trying to kill this bad guy and every time he turns around, he comes back. You know what I'm talking about? They burn him. They drop him. They run over him. They drown him. And he won't die. And just, what's that? Can't kill the boogeyman. But you've seen movies like that. I mean, you can't get rid of the guy. I just get so aggravated, I don't want to watch the movie anymore. But it dawns on me. So many times, we're fighting the devil that way. And you can't destroy him by burning him and drowning him and running over him. You destroy him by taking up the full armor of God and the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you cut him in half, and he's dead then. Okay? You can't argue with the devil, and don't even try. You know what arguing with the devil's like? It's like arguing with stupidity. You get nowhere. You rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Okay, he says, be a peacemaker. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We've had some messages on peace. I'm not going to hammer this one except this. To be a peacemaker, you know what you have to do? You get in there and you help people resolve their differences. And you're going to get hit when you do it. Do it anyway because that's a command of God. Blessed are the peacemakers in the Beatitudes. What does that mean? The people who just sit around, little pacifists? No, it's the people who get in there and say, hey, you're a brother in Christ, you're a sister in Christ, come here. I'm going to sit here. I'll help you. I'll mediate this. You can get mad at me if you want to, but I want you to walk out of here loving each other like you're supposed to. So what's your problem? Really, a peacemaker. To say, you know, you guys are not obeying Scripture, so I love you both. God loves you. And you know deep down you love each other because you're bonded in the Spirit of Christ. So come on, let's sit down. You tell me what your issue is. You tell me what yours is. And we'll solve this thing. That's peacemakers. You're reconciling people. You're bringing folks together that have been divided too long. You just don't stand there and watch it. You get in there and you don't start problems. You don't start anything, but you resolve it. Listen, you want to know what the requirement is to be a peacemaker? Love. God's love. The love of Jesus in your heart. And you follow that with faith that God will use you in a mighty way to solve this problem. And humility. That I can't walk into this with any pride or ego. I walk into this, Lord, with submission to you. And whatever you want to accomplish, it'll be to your glory, not mine. There's no win and lose for me. It's all win and lose for God. So you take this and I'm your vessel. You're going to have humility and then the willingness to do it. And then last, you know what it is. Do it. Involvement. Now, close with this. Sorry to keep you a little bit, but I'm closing. You seek peace and pursue it, and then remember that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so we want to close with this. You don't want to be crosswise with Lord, where the Lord would never turn his face from you. You don't want to let any evil, bitterness, just giving into these constant words that are flowing from something amiss in your heart. You don't want to let that grieve the Holy Spirit where God one day his face is away from you. Jesus took our sins on the cross and God turned his face for a moment. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, it wasn't really Jesus, but Jesus had taken our sins and was so stained with it, filthy with it. God just turned his face for a moment. Don't ever let your life get there. Don't let it get so corroded and you know, like some of these faucets and see all that blue stuff around them and they start leaking. And don't get corroded. Keep the water, the Holy Spirit flowing in your life. God is always watching, is what he says. I saw that cute little movie. I can't believe it. Angels in the Outfield. I watched it again. Has everybody seen that one? Oh, you haven't seen Angels in the Outfield? Oh, my goodness. And the more modern one, you know, and the little boy, the two little boys. Oh, you got to watch that. You know, and it's great. And the angel comes, but he tells the little boy, he says, we're always watching. Well, God is. That was a truth. And he's watching you right now. There's nowhere you're going to go where he's not watching. So if he's watching and you want to be kind of a little more aware of what you're saying and doing and your expressions on your face because he's watching, he watches us and he watches his righteous, he's watching his righteous people. God's always hearing their prayers. Do you see that? He's hearing. His ears are open to your prayers. He hears you. You may think God's not listening, but he listens to you, his righteous people. Don't forget it. Even a little quick prayer. It might be God, I'm just so down. What do I do? And he's saying, I got you. I hear you. I'm coming right now. I'm here. Listen to me. People may be seeming to get away with evil, and you get so frustrated with it. But let me tie in something that we saw yesterday evening. Right when the evil people think they're getting away with it, they're going to get the flaming rocket of God right down their bunker. And you keep that image. Right when you think you've got the Jesus people whipped, you're going to find the fiery word of God coming like a lightning bolt right down your ventilator shaft. I saw that. I see that such a spiritual. I thought, yes, sir, that's what it says. God's ears are open to the prayers. His eyes are on the righteous, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And I tell you what, right when you think those bad, the evil people in this world think they got it together, comes a bunker buster from God. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. You stand back and you let him do his thing and you just receive his best blessing, okay? God, thank you for your word, your will, your vision. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that you're just a great almighty God. You got a good sense of humor, Lord. We appreciate it. You put up with us, you got to have. And you got a lot of grace and a lot of mercy, a lot of love. Pour it into us. And help us to go out of here and just be a little, just more of what you sent us to be in the first place. So we can do the job, stay on mission, and bring you glory through it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, thank you for your people here today. Bless them all in Jesus' name. Amen.